If you will, now turn with me to Mark chapter 2. And this account is given in verses 1 through 12. In the first several verses of Mark chapter 2, we have the story of a sinner being brought to Christ by some folks who absolutely believed if they could get him to Christ, Christ could make him whole. If somehow we could get him to Christ, Christ could do him good. He could do some good. This man was afflicted. He had the palsy. And palsy, according to what I've read, was a debilitating disease. It left a man's body in paralysis, no ability to function. And it points as a picture to our inability, the inabilities of our nature to do anything before God, any spiritual thing. Our Lord said, with man, it's impossible. That's what he said. And here's a man. And according to what I've read, this man was paralyzed from head to toe. And this paralysis, it affected his speech and his ability to control any motor function, his hands, his feet, walking, talking. And it not only caused paralysis, but it also caused a tremor or a shaking of the body. Uncontrollable shaking. And as I've told you many times, the healing of those brought to Christ was done for four primary reasons. When we read about these miracles, they were performed. The Lord didn't just go about showing off, showing that he could heal folks and trying to gain a big reputation by healing people. That's what false prophets do today. They try to build a reputation by healing people that don't need to be healed. But these were done for four primary reasons. First, it was the work of God in him. The work of God in this man, Christ Jesus. The work of God in him to confirm his office as the Christ. When Peter began to preach at Pentecost, he said, "You men of Israel, you hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." And I read to you a few moments ago out of Luke where all these doctors of the law and all these Pharisees, they were all the uppity-ups, were all gathered together on this day, and the Lord performed this miracle right before them. And then again, in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says it again. The same thing about confirming his office as the Christ. And except here in Hebrews, he also joins that in with the miracles performed by the apostles to confirm their office. So every time a poor sinner came to Christ and was healed, it was an evidence of his office as the Christ. It verified who he was. And then secondly, these encounters with the sick were brought to pass to fulfill the scriptures. David blessed the Lord in his holy name and tells us to not forget all his benefits. Now listen to this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That was the Christ that was to come. In Matthew 8:16, it says, "He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, that Isaiah had spoken, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So it was a fulfillment of the scriptures when he did these things. And then thirdly, he healed the sick to establish a gospel truth. Let that sink in. When he healed the sick, it was to establish a gospel truth. You remember the Pharisees questioned immediately. If you read all these accounts, you'll find out that immediately after this, and in the discussion about him having power to forgive sins on earth, that he called Matthew. The very next thing he did was to call Matthew, and they went down to Matthew's house for supper. And when they got down there, publicans and sinners had gathered all in the house. All Matthew's friends were there. And the Pharisees were there too. And they said, told his disciples, went over and hit him and said, "Why is your master eating with publicans and sinners? Why is he doing that?" And the Lord knew what they said. And he turned to them and he said, "Because the whole need not the physician, but the sick." The sick. He said, "Now you go learn what this means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So here is a gospel truth being established by the healing of this sinner. He's going to have mercy and not sacrifice. He's going to have mercy and not sacrifice. The healing of the sick took place to establish the sovereign grace of God in the salvation of sinners according to the good pleasure of his will. On a certain day, a certain man was brought there by certain men. And that's how it always is. And then lastly, these miracles of healing were accomplished for the glory of God. They said, "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" Over in the book of John, talks about it. "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" And the Lord said, they said, "His parents, or did he do it?" I said, "Neither one. He born blind for the glory of God." God's going to heal him, going to give him eyes, and he's going to get all the glory for it. And then our Lord said to his disciples after he received the message that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And every time we read about the healing miracles of Christ, we need to think about these four things, because this is what's taking place. So let me begin this morning's message with this: the whole need not the physician, but the sick. Sin is at the root of all our troubles. I don't know what your troubles are this morning, but you do. Or at least some of you do. And I'm telling you this, sin is at the root of it. It's at the root of all of our troubles. Sin entered and death passed. If there were no sin, there'd be no sickness, no suffering, no misery, and no death. If there were no sin, there would be no urgency, no uneasiness, and no fear. Sin is at the root of all of our problems. And Paul said to his kinsmen, "We're no better off for all our advantages, because I've before proved that both Jew and Gentile are all under sin." We're troubled because we're under sin. I don't care what the trouble is, you trace it back far enough, you'll find out it's all from sin. Sin is at the root of it. Jew and Gentile are all under sin. They're under the condemnation of it, the curse of it, the nature of it, and the consequences of it. He said, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And sin is a curse. It's a curse. He was made a curse for us. Isn't that what it says? Well, what's he talking about, a curse? A curse is the holy law from a holy God and a sinful carnal man sold under sin. That's the curse. Here's the law. The Lord went into detail. He said, I'll bless you if you keep the law. If you do all of these things, I'll bless you. But if you don't, I'm going to condemn you. And that's what Paul reminded his kinsmen of. He said, it's not the sayers of the law. It's not the confessors of the law, it's the doers of the law that stand just before God. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The curse is a holy law from a holy God and a sinful carnal man sold under sin. The curse is a God whose nature is infinite perfection and a man whose very nature makes him a child of wrath even as others. That's the curse. And the scripture said, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Not just a discontinuance of life as we know it, but the second death, which is eternal agony. You know, our Lord said, one of his disciples, he called him and he said, wait a minute. He said, my father died. And he said, I need to attend his funeral. I need to go out and see to this. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Huh? You think he's talking about discontinuance of life there? No, he's talking about men who are dead in trespasses and sins. Sin is at the root of all of our problems, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I dare view this man's palsy as a type of my sin, I'll discover that my sin has left me in a paralysis of nature. That's what I'm going to discover in it. This is me. This is me, the sinner, being brought to Christ. These men sought means to get him there. He couldn't get there on his own. Didn't do any good to go over there to him and say, now we're going to sing one more verse. And if you'll take the first step, God will take the rest. No, this man couldn't talk. He was paralyzed. He was lying there in his bed at the house and he couldn't move. And he was just shaking and couldn't talk. And he was a mess. And they said, how are we going to get him down to Christ? How are we going to do this? Now, in my mind, you couldn't just pick the couch up with him because he's shaking all over. He's got the palsy. He'd have just rolled off on the ground. So I had to get some rope and tie him onto the couch. And took four of them to carry him. And when they got there, they couldn't get in the door. I'm telling you, we're in a bad shape if you view yourself in the light of this man with the palsy. That's how we are. That's how we are. I have a carnal mind that's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. And to will may be present, even in the believer, but how to perform it he can't find. I'm so sick of hearing people say, well, I'm a believer now. Now I can keep the law. Oh, no, you can't. Paul said, the will was present. I would. I honor that law. I'd keep it if I could, but I can't. How to perform it, he said, I find not. And finally, he cries out from his soul, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Can you see yourself in this sinner? Now remember, he didn't just tell him. He did tell him take up his bed. He did tell him all that. But the first thing he said to him was, man, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Can you see yourself as you are? Can you see the paralysis of your own nature? Can you see your helplessness? Can you see yourself at the mercy of God? God had to seek this man out. He wasn't seeking God. He wasn't seeking anything. Maybe seeking death. He's in a bad way. All right, here's the second thing I want you to see. This palsied sinner must be brought to the Lord of glory. In Romans 3:11, describing what it is to be under sin, Paul said, there's none that understandeth and none that seeketh after God. Unregenerate man is totally depraved. You believe that? Totally depraved. Religion preaches a depravity, but they don't preach total depravity. Man totally depraved. His nature, his birth, his life, his mind, his ways, his concept, his heart. And all of us like to think of men as knowing a little bit of truth, don't we? Huh? Having a little bit of light, having a little understanding. But it's just not so. Just not so. Every thought of the imagination of their hearts is only evil continually. All their so-called righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Depraved, debilitated sinners who have to be sought out. Listen to this. Isaiah said, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. Isn't that what he said? A city not forsaken. The scripture says, after some days in Capernaum, Mark chapter 2, verse 1, after some days in Capernaum, it was noised that he was in the house. Oh, I hope he's in this house. Don't you? Lest we didn't just gather here to put on a show, gather here to fulfill some duty. I hope he's in the house. It was noise straightway, it says, after it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. The word of salvation, the establishing of the righteousness of God in Christ, the atonement offered for him once for all. He showed them in the word the things concerning himself and opened unto them the scripture saying, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in all nations. He preached the word to them. He opened to them the scriptures. And oh, how the sick came to Christ. It said in Luke's account that the power of the Lord was present in the house to heal them. And I'll tell you, if it ain't, you won't be healed. I can't do nothing for you. I can't do a thing for you, but he can. So what makes the difference is who's in the house. See, that's what these four men knew. Who bore this palsied man. They knew who was in the house. They knew him. And they knew if he was there, that the power to heal them was present. And when the news spread that Jesus Christ himself was in the house, then many were gathered before him. And so many you couldn't even get in the door. I'm going to tell you something. There's only one who can alter your course. Right now, every sinner's walking according to the course of this world. His course must be altered. There's only one who can alter it. Right now, every sinner's walking according to the prince of the power of this air, and there's only one man who can take you out of his reign. There's only one strong man that can bring that strong man armed down. Right now, every sinner's walking in the vanity of his mind, and there's only one who can give him an understanding. This man is in a far worse condition. I'm talking about us. In a far worse condition than that palsied man. Man can't do anything for himself until the Lord does something for him. And the only one who could do anything for him was in the house. All right, here's the next thing. The Lord of glory moved in the hearts of his friends. Do you believe that? You believe they were just sitting around and said, I know what let's do. Let's go down there and get that old palsy guy out of the house. I don't believe that. I believe the Lord laid it on their heart. I don't believe they could do another thing until they got him down to that house. You ever have a burden for sinners? Ever had a burden for somebody that you know that just consumed your mind? You couldn't think about anything else. You couldn't pray about anything else. It just totally consumed your mind. That's what happened. The Lord laid it on their hearts. Put his name upon their hearts and minds and caused them to have compassion. And they said to themselves, let's take old Darvin down to the house where Christ is. Well, he's in bad shape. He can't walk. He can't talk. Nobody else seems to care about him. So let's get us a stretcher and we'll carry that old sinner down to the house of God. In Luke's account it says, they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before the Lord. And in Mark's account it said he was borne, B-O-R-N-E, that is, he was carried afore. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was in the house. And then listen to this, Luke 5, verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal him. It's not by chance or luck. He was there for the express purpose of healing these sinners. And then fourthly, faith finds a way. Always does. Faith finds a way. Seemed physically impossible. It certainly must have appeared as a waste of time. But faith don't think that way. Faith lays on the heart a desperation, a necessity. And it must be today. Well, they could have waited. Faith won't wait. Mm-mm. Faith don't think that way. Faith lays to the heart of desperation. It must be today. It must be now. And so they found some means to get this debilitated sinner up on the roof. And with anxious hands, they tore a hole in the roof or remove the tiles, and with ropes they let this poor sinner down before the Lord. We're not told that the palsied sinner ever said a word. He wouldn't know what to say if he could. He never said a word. Now picture this. Here's this man, and he's shaking all over. You've seen people with epilepsy or things like that, and they're shaking and they're uncontrollable and their eyes are kind of rolled back in their head, and it's a frightening sight to see it. And here he is down there before the Lord. And it doesn't say that the Lord even looked at the man. It said when he saw their faith. Whose faith? These four guys up on the river. Then he spoke to the man. Faith finds a way. Not told that the palsied sinner said a word, and in fact, he might not even been able to speak. But what it does say in Luke 5:20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. But you say the Lord didn't even call out his name. His name's never mentioned here. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. He said, man. Huh? That's his name. That's your name. Well, what's that mean? He said it never entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. Man. By one man sin entered into the world. Death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Man, that's what he's telling him, man. Fallen man, depraved man, cursed man, oh, wretched man that I am. That's your name. And I tell you, everybody who comes to Christ is going to own up to that name. That's the first thing he's going to reveal to you, what your name is. Your name's man. Job said, he don't put any trust in his saints, and how much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like water. When the Savior gives eternal life to the sinner and declares his free justification of grace, he makes the sinner to own up to his name, man. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? But that's not all. Look over here at Mark's account. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, huh? Well, I thought he was a man. I thought he was a maggot. I thought he was a worm. I thought he was cursed of God. He was. And he wouldn't. Son. If you look, both of those words are capitalized, man and son. Son. That's to show us our oneness in Christ. That's to show us our adoption, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Son. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Paul said in Galatians 3:26, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When Christ speaks peace to the sinner, he makes him to own his sinful self, but he also speaks to him as the son that he was chosen to be. Speaks to him as an heir. And in Matthew's account, he tells this poor sinner, still lying on his bed, he said, be of good cheer. That don't mean a thing, most people. But I tell you, a man under the conviction of sin, it means everything. It means everything. Be of good cheer. And after all the objections of the self-righteous theologians, the Lord turned again to old Darwin and he said, "Arise, and take up your couch, and go back to your house." And he took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now, it doesn't say what the four who brought him said, but I'm guessing that one may have looked at the other. All these down here at the bottom, they said, "Boy, today we've seen a strange thing." Huh? It always happens that way. We come in here week after week after week, nothing happens. All of a sudden, somebody's born of God. And we all look like it's some kind of strange thing. Huh? A strange thing has happened here today. But not those four guys. Those four guys still on the roof, still looking down through the hole. I'm just guessing. I'm not told what they said, but I'm just guessing. I think maybe one might have looked up at the others and said, "I told you. I told you. I told you if I could get him down to the house of God and lay him down before the Lord would heal him. I told you." Now listen to this and I'll close. Luke chapter 5 verse 26. "They were all amazed and they glorified God and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Happened right before their eyes. They saw this man convulsing in a paralysis upon a couch. One minute and the next minute he gets up, puts the couch up on his back and goes home singing, "My sins are all taken away." I picture old Darwin sitting down on that old couch, carrying his cot home. Somebody knew him, says, "Hey, buddy, what are you carrying that bed for? Where are you going with that bed? How come you carrying that bed?" "Oh," he said, "let me tell you something about this old couch. Some dear friends of mine bound me to it. I was in bad shape. I was paralyzed. I was convulsing. I couldn't do anything. Bubble out the old sin, foam out my shame. That's all I could do. And these friends of mine bound me to my couch with cords of love. And brought me down and set me down before the Lord. And he said to me, 'Son, you know it's hard for me to believe that even today. Son, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are all gone.'" Now, if it ain't too much to ask, pick up your bed and going home. And he did. And he rejoiced all the way to the house. And it may seem a strange thing to the onlookers, but those of faith all say the same thing. "I told you. I told you. Salvation in him, life in him. Forgiveness in him. Glory in him. Everything's in him. Christ is all. If I can get a man to Christ, he's complete in him. He's complete." What about you? Do you believe if you could get one of your friends and one of your neighbors and one of your children, you believe you get him into the presence of the King? You believe the Lord could do something for him? Bring him? Well, I don't know if I can convince him of anything. This man didn't convince the Lord of anything. He never spoke a word. The Lord saw their faith and did something for him. Huh? Let me tell you why we ain't got our whole family out there in the truck, because we don't believe that God can do it. Now, that's the cold, hard truth. We just don't. If we did, we'd find a way, wouldn't we? Huh? We'd find some way to get somebody into this house to hear. And that's what happened on this day. I don't know too much about the man. I don't know too much about his past, except in general what man is. But I tell you this, they brought him in, and the Lord looked up and saw their faith. And then he started talking to him. Now, he was a son. He was a chosen man of God. He was one of God's elect. But I'm just telling you how the Lord works. How he works. Oh, may he lay it on our hearts. That's where it's going to have to start. God's going to have to give us a burden for sinners. A burden for sinners. And where he gives you a burden for sinners, you can't quit praying for them. You just can't. And you'll find some way to get them here. I don't know if you have time on a cot and bring them. I don't know, but you'll find a way. You'll find a way. And when you do, don't be surprised. Don't think it a strange thing if the Lord does something for them. When he does, I'm going to tell you, I told you.